This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 26th of November, 1953. The title of this lecture is Exteriorization. This tape is 61 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
This is November the 26th, Thanksgiving afternoon lecture. The subject today, methods of exteriorization. I give you a lot of material on this subject. In fact, we could probably talk for a couple hundred hours just on various ways people got exteriorized. The essential method of exteriorization, the method which you must have and use if you expect success and exteriorizing somebody, is to know the elements of what you are exteriorizing and predict its behavior under certain conditions, the various conditions you encounter. Now, if you know of what it is capable, you will then know very well how to get it out of one place and into another place. This is a simplicity, true, but it's something that you might overlook. If you know how a thetan operates, behaves, of what he is capable, you then will be able to use these capabilities in order to exteriorize him. You are all too prone to suppose that because a thetan finds himself in the middle of a body, he then does not have the same characteristics as he would have far from a body. This is brought about with some justification, for a thetan, when trying to operate in the middle of the body, is operating straight up against his own ridges very often, and in operating against those, finds it very difficult to exteriorize. You see that? Every time he tries to do something, he activates something which he has already deposited in the body, and he now becomes the effect of what he has caused. And thus you stir up too many ridges inside the body, and the thetan is apparently less capable than before. The answer to this is the validation of messed barriers and the invalidation of the thetan's own barriers. A thetan can put out beams and exert pressure against them. He can string ribbons around anywhere. He does not have to be the point from which beams and ribbons emanate. He does not have to be the source point. Now, for instance, it's just as easy for a thetan to put a beam running from somewhere outside. Now, try this. Put a beam running from somewhere outside the room down to that corner of the room. See? I'll make it disappear. You see that? All right, now we'll take somebody who is interiorized. He's in. And he's having a lot of trouble getting out, and he has bad eyes, and he has a lot of things. There is this thing called energy hunger, and a solution is possible in the lines of energy hunger. But you can take somebody who's never been outside of his head, and you can ask him to mock up ribbons which go from a point back of his head to spots in his body. He'd get those ribbons. Now, you keep that up for a while, and you will blow a whole lot of bridges and so on, and still a whole lot of the commotion which is going on, which makes it impossible for him to be back of himself. But this, remember, like any use of beams, is apt to re-stimulate existing deposits of energy which are more or less on the same wavelength. Why specify gold beams and so on, just to get off of the usual black light wavelengths that a thetan who is unable to get out easily is generally embedded in black energy. See? So you put some gold energy or some blue energy or some pink energy or red energy. Now, I didn't use colored energy. Well, his inability to exteriorize is made difficult by the fact that he has too largely validated those barriers in which he finds himself enmeshed. He's too greatly validated his own thought processes, his thinkingness processes as he conceives them, his own facsimiles and other material, and he is in contact with these. And the other part of the problem is he is frightened of mess. He's rather frightened of it. Once in a while, he will exteriorize a thetan, and he will try to steady himself by putting a beam on the wall, and the wall will eat up the beam. The beam, you see, is very too close to the wavelength of that wall, and he'll stick. And sometimes you exteriorize somebody, and you exteriorize him as a body, you know, and then you don't exteriorize him from the body he exteriorized in. You just you see what's happening there. I mean, he has something you might call a theta body. Well, it's very silly for him to have this. It's not something he sends around. He's in it. But he can exteriorize out of that one. It's built out of a slightly less heavy effort on a different anchor point system than the mess body. Now, he can exteriorize out of that exactly as he exteriorizes out of a mess body, because he is essentially just a source point for energy. And if he locates himself as a point, he is very small. Very small. He locates himself as a point. Well, now, in trying to agree with the body, he'll eventually mock himself up as a body. This is not true. He's a small spot of light, you might say. And he will get out in one of these, quote, theta bodies, unquote, and lay his hand, you know, theta body hand. It operates just like a mess body hand. And he'll lay his hand on the wall or on the back of a chair or into the upholstery or something of the sort, and he will go right on in. They'll grab hold of him. Boy, you want anything to do with that. Oh, no, he'll try to pull free. Never occurs to him to just drop the hand which is caught and mock up a new hand. This doesn't occur to him. And he becomes very frightened and will dive back in. Now, that's a different manifestation than is ordinarily encountered, because the things that are doing this they're not later on the scale, they're earlier on the scale. I mean by that, they're not old antiques. They're thetans who are still almost capable of creating a body. See, without any further activity. They're just using a messed body because it's more accepted. But if they were to have thought hard about it a few years earlier, even in this lifetime, and if they had known some of the mechanics involved, they hadn't hidden everything for themselves too, they could have mocked up a body which was visible. In other words, this thetan really hasn't gone to pieces, whether he's old or young, that's not pertinent. It's just he hasn't gone to pieces completely yet. And he has an enormous strength of control. And you're really fighting his strength of control more than anything else. Well, he could make a body which is visible. And when he's in competition, very strong competition with the messed universe, he sees this body, he can make one just as good, he tries to, and so on. He mocks one up that's just as good as that. And as far as he's concerned, but these are rare. This is a rare instance. One otherwise. Generally, the theta body that they exteriorize in are simply a mass of effort ridges which have accumulated on the messed body, which they can't get rid of, so they drag along with them, which is a different thing. That's other energy they're dragging with them. Well, one of these that could almost make his own body will exteriorize with some sort of a hand or something of the sort, which has long electronic beams on it, all of which are vibrating, and he has, you might say, an electrical metabolism, which would fascinate an engineer. Just fascinating, because he's an electronic machine. He's rigged up so that his energy performs certain exact functions. And you generally have four or five stringers on the end of his arm, you see, in lieu of a hand, which is almost a hand. There's just three, four, five stringers, all of which are in very strong vibration. This is a tough boy. This is a tough boy. You very often have trouble exteriorizing him. He's real rough. He's real tough. What he's used that hand for, in possibly relatively recent times, is the simple act of decapitation. just one backward flip of the hand, and Mesbody's head would come off. That's all. His problem is somewhat different. He's afraid that if he relaxes control over the Mesbody for a moment, that it will cave in, because he's probably practically holding it together with the main strength and awkwardness. You know, he's probably had a lot of things happen to him. He sort of got this thing patched up, and he's using his body to hold it together. Quite the reverse. He's got this thing propped up, and he knows it. And he's afraid he won't be able to control it if he steps away from it. He'll either go completely out of control or cave in, because he already knows it hasn't got good sense. But his problems are the same as anybody else's problems. He's too enmeshed in his own energy, and in addition to that, he gets too solid a contact on Mest. His terminals are too close to Mest. They're too solid, in other words. They're right on that wavelength. It isn't that he's drifted down in combating the wavelength forever. He just walks up on that level with great ease, and he's got a real body. He'd be visible to some slight degree, even to Mest eyes. It'd scare people stiff if they happen to turn around and see one of these boys, because they're real rough-looking characters. No doubt about it. Of course, they have a sort of a humor about their roughness. I ran into one time that had a beautiful tail, this solid black, sort of furry, with a beautiful tail and a cat's face. And long electronic, this sounds like something out of a nightmare, I know, and long electronic claws. And I asked this character a few questions one way or the other. I mean, I exteriorized him just that way, you see, exteriorized him in his body, and I asked him to knock a piece of paper off the desk, and he simply reached over, and he knocked the piece of paper all right, but he also charred it. And he reached around a moment later and took hold of the sofa and stuck to it. He couldn't get his hand free instantly, startled him. And he did an immediate flip back into the body, but he was quite visible to Mest eyes. It was like a dark shadow standing in the room. You can imagine a shadow, quite plain shadow, standing upright in the room with a quite bright set of streamers coming out of its hands. You'd have this. This is very, very strange. This fellow, by the way, was quite afraid of demons. And he had mocked himself up this way because for many centuries he had fought demons. And of course he went in and mocked up them, the winning valence, the demons. That was a very, very interesting case, because it took me a couple more hours to persuade him and drill him in letting go beams, mocking up and letting go beams, mocking up and letting go beams, before he'd have anything else to do with Mest. The way you would do that today is you would just have him overtly start changing the emotional context of everything around him, changing its color, and then seeing through it further barriers, further barriers, and further barriers in six directions until he got nothing, and then sit there and know until he had Mest so thoroughly invalidated that he didn't give a damn about it. And then you'd turn around and have him put black spheres, little each one a little further out from the last one he was in, and look through the last one to the new one until he had blackness thoroughly invalidated. And then you'd have him do a few mock-ups and put some emotion in them, and his level of contempt would come up to a point where he would, with great ease, do whatever he thought he could do. This person doesn't control well, by the way. From an auditing standpoint, that isn't any reason why people are like that, who are just hard to control. But he's too well aware of actually what he's doing. You get way ahead of you very quickly. You're not liable to run into very many like that, though. There's no particular reason that you won't. It's just that there aren't very many here on Earth that are exactly in that condition. Then there's the Thetan you run into occasionally, who has never heard of a between lives area. He doesn't know he's supposed to go back anyplace. He doesn't know people can't get out of their heads. He doesn't know there's any difficulty about any of this. The second you say, be 3 feet back of your head, his knowingness turns on with a blast. He knows he's there, and he knows what he's doing. And he becomes a little bit difficult to handle simply because he's confused, because you're confused as an auditor. You want him to do all these various things like grading scales and things like that. And he doesn't need any grading scales to do these things. He can do these things. And he doesn't see any point in all this. Of course, he doesn't realize that he's heading for the river. One of these days, why, he'll have a hold of a body and bing, the GE set up and so forth, and back between lives, and here he goes, and bang, he gets wiped out, and he doesn't have those abilities anymore. Well, they're pretty darn scarce. Another scarce variety. Most of them, Thetan, who has been back and forth, but most of the preclears you get, Thetan's been back and forth between the between lives area. By the way, the one I just told you about, he's pretty newly arrived on Earth. The last one. He's pretty newly arrived. And anyway, the routine one that you run into has been through the between lives area. And when this person is a step one, it is simply because he hasn't got the between lives incidents keyed in. There's no reason they should key in if you get him well exteriorized without handling any energy. Beyond mist, you can handle this stuff, but I mean not handling his own energy. You're stepping back of his head. And then keep him away from his body and drill him and get his perception up and specialize in all these lines. This boy's all right. But he's always on the verge of getting the between lives area or something else keyed in on him. So you just drill like mad so that he can look and survive. You just drill, 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 percept, percept, percept. Be here, be there, be someplace else, perception, perception. Once in a while, you'll move one up toward Mars. And sorry I have to keep talking about this type of material, but I know it's upsetting and heard on these tapes, particularly. But you get one up toward Mars, and you take a look at it, and say, that's a funny place. It looks like it's pulsating, or there's something there, or something of the sort. You look at it. Say, you know, things go down, take, you say, all right, now, be up near the moon. So on. Because he actually, you could bail him right straight back out of it, but there's no reason messing him up so that you have to bail him out with auditing. You get him tough enough so that he can look more penetratively at things and know better. He wouldn't be here if he knew all there was to know. Okay? Then there's the type who has been through the between lives area and is occluding. And through effort, has a sort of an effort fringe around the body and feels pretty solid and is up against large bags of energy and so forth. He doesn't have any hands and he just exteriorizes. He doesn't go into a frenzy if he happens to put his hand on some mist. The reason that first one, you see, goes into a frenzy about putting his hand on some mist or something of the sort is his first impulse is just to shove the mist over. You know, and he finds he didn't do that, and he just mired down a little bit more, and he suddenly tells himself he hasn't got as much soup as he used to have, and this scares him a little bit because he's already losing in the competition with the mist universe. All right. But out of all these processes and all these cases, you use the same techniques. You don't have to have anything very special. You just don't be startled if you run into one of those varieties. And there are other varieties, too. I ran into a little girl one day and exteriorized her. And she said, oh, thank you. I've been so worried. She said, I've been here for about 2 years, 10-year-old girl. And she said, I ran along to help this little girl up, and I couldn't get out again. The little girl was still unconscious. Interesting series of incidents. And this thing that I exteriorized, it's just a body, a being a body, a control or manage one. Well, you did if you couldn't do anything else with it, but that was a very silly thing to do, or that's a funny thing to be, you see. It's one of those things. And She went back to Ireland. That was the end of that. Left me the task of reviving the little girl. Which I promptly did. No wonder people in the old days, not knowing too much about all this stuff, got all spooky about spooks and things like that, because good live spooks can be very upsetting. That's very, very peculiar. Then there's quite often you find somebody who's picked up a 5 or 6 year old child, didn't go through an assumption. You know, picked up the kid. What difference does this make in running a case? It doesn't make any difference. It merely makes some randomity for you and something of interest. And when something like that happens, don't be particularly amazed. Now, in all the time I've been processing, exteriorizing people, I've never had anybody zap me. I've had a lot of people threaten to and so forth. But I've never had anybody zap me. I don't know that this would ever happen. One way or the other. I know I have not really zapped or nipped anybody, but once in a while dropped a beam across a couple of anchor points they had, which sure short-circuited them for a minute. But that's about the worst I ever did, and only then usually for amusement, not for antagonism. It's a very funny thing, you know. You start doing these things out of antagonism and it sticks you. The mood with which you play a game is not anger, as anybody knows who's been part of a team on any playing field. It just is not compatible with the game, and your teammates have a tendency to sneer, and you have a tendency to bog down. Well, with all of this, what you're exteriorizing still boils down to this point. You have a being who easily or uneasily, with ease or great difficulty, is going to be left in a state by your intention and activities whereby he does not have to be in a body to control one, and where he can resist the various inroads which life and time make upon him, where he doesn't have to flip back through between lives area and go through this ritual and that ritual in order to get along. And that's what you're trying to do. And the problems you encounter are these. One, he is very frightened of mist. Can't control it. It more or less controls him. Two, he is utterly bogged down in his own machinery. More or less so. Three, he is enmeshed in energy of his own creation, which at the same time is coincident with the energy of the mess body. Four, who probably has one or more body anchor points out of place, thus creating flows which make it difficult to exteriorize him. And five, who is running more on other determinism than he is on self-determinism, and is so given too much randomity. And six, who has resisted things to the point where he has become them. The solutions to these problems are just those solutions which are outlined in 8C. But as far as pushing somebody out of his head is concerned, or getting him out of his head, this is of the essence very early in process. You understand that? There's no reason to keep stirring up the soup just because he's in it. You'll get him out of the soup simply by getting him out of the soup, like that old Indian tribe that has all these terrifically wise maxims. The way to cross the lake is to cross the lake. The way to eat duck is to eat duck. So on and so on and so on. The way to process a preclear is to remove him from his head, or remove the head from him. You've got two choices there. And the processes you use to do this roughly boil down to being able to be at another point than within the body, being able to push himself to another point than in the body, being able to vanish the body and other things so thoroughly that he is no longer in them, and being able to vanish energy deposits of his own with such ease that he's no longer confronted by them, and so is again not in them. Or jettisoning everything he is trying to hold on to by remaining in the body, or demonstrate to him that he can control bodies without being in them. And any one of those will exteriorize a preclear. Any one of them. Now, there's one out of all these that I haven't mentioned very much before, and that is the control of the body from outside, being able to control a body while away from it. You can do this by teaching him to control a mock-up at a distance from him. Control a mock-up in motion at a distance from him. And he has a tendency then to relax his control on the body. But how complicated do you have to get to exteriorize somebody? It's only really just as complicated as you make it as an auditor. Really not much more complicated than that. For instance, I had a fellow do this one time. I generally can size up a case and take a look at it and fool around with it for a while, and 15, 20 minutes, something like that. And unless the case is just a champion case, then it takes maybe quite a little processing, maybe several hours to do it successfully, maybe 15 hours or something like that to fish them out. That'd really be a championship case. 15 minutes, 20 minutes, something on that order. That is routine time on a difficult case to exteriorize the way I operate with them. For instance, I took 20 people one time and threw all but one out of their heads, I think, in 3 hours. Just routine people. They weren't easy cases either. Later on, it was very interesting. Auditors processing these people who were already exteriorized couldn't get any place much with the cases. And this was very, very weird to me. I couldn't understand why this was taking place. Till I found out that they were seeking simply an agreement with their own state, which was also very unfinished. And they sought this agreement with their own state, and nobody improved anybody else's state. And they were all more or less stuck on this button. They were unwilling to give freedom to others. And you find that's a very, very upsetting button. So you want to be free yourself, but you have to free others. It isn't that you have to bring everybody up in agreement uniformly. You can shove off and go to the other end of nowhere, as far as that's concerned. But if you keep on associating with people, you occasionally have your qualms about setting them free, believe me. And it's something that can be touched in a case every once in a while. But it shows up on step 3, brackets of space, putting brackets of space around people. That will show up right away. So it's a button which runs out practically and doesn't have to worry you. What you need as a technique is brackets of space. And you do that because you want him to see the body's anchor points and his own anchor points and find other anchor points and increase his perception. So it pays dividends in all directions. As a concept, it runs out. You don't see it. There's a lot of hidden things happen. A lot of side effects would take place, which we don't talk about. There isn't any reason to talk about them. They're just more significance, you see. All right. What's our problem with this fellow that seems very recalcitrant and so forth? Well, it quite often will be a problem which is as easily solved as this, I'm going to tell you. But there's this one case that, oh boy, everybody had, they just given up on this case. The casual championship case. This guy, nothing you've done about this case. This guy just, he was mean, he was stubborn. It was because he didn't want to. It's because he wouldn't get any more sympathy. It's because he actually depended upon his state to get the sympathy of women, so he wouldn't get any more sexual sensation if he got cleared. And everybody had an explanation for this. They had leaped deep into the significance and hadn't bailed themselves out. When, as a matter of fact, all the case was worried about was whether or not he could control the body from outside. He was sure that he couldn't.
This lecture is continued on side 2 of this cassette.
He was just certain that he couldn't. And so he didn't dare move out of it. He was a fellow who had lived rather dangerously, and so it had a lot of problems of sudden body control and emergency. And he wasn't going on deposits of energy or any other mechanical reason. He just didn't believe that he could control a body from outside. Yet he didn't state that belief to himself. It was just something he lived with all the time, like the little girl who had a migraine headache for the first 5 years of her life, and somebody took it away, and she was very surprised. And the shock was almost too much for her to be without that headache, because she... You see, that was not normal, to be without a headache. Well, that was the way this was with him. It was an unexamined concept. And he was exteriorized in this fashion. We will now run the button. I cannot control my body while I am outside of it. I can control my body while I am outside of it. I cannot control my body from behind it. I can control my body from behind it. Be 3 feet back of your head, okay. That was a real tough problem. Now, you'll feel silly more times than once when you finally fling somebody out of his head or fling his head out of him. But you understand there's only, it just happens with great ease. And you say, I wonder why I was toying with it all this time, why I just didn't do it. I've seen a case, by the way, rehearsed on self-analysis and other processing, and that was acknowledged to be a very difficult case. And I've seen the case going on week after week, getting this type of processing and getting light processes and everybody being very nice and kind of snide about it in a difficult case. Until one day, I just keep wondering when this was going to happen. Some auditor would get bright enough to say, now, why don't you be 3 feet back of your head? The fellow, for the past month, any day of the past month, could have been 3 feet back of his head, but nobody ever asked him to. So I always start a session that way. Just in case some other auditor has flubbed the dub, or just in case I have a step one, there's no reason to work hard at it. I'll even do it on extreme cases. I had an 82-year-old woman one time on the couch, and she had no more than sat down, and she knew nothing about Scientology. And I said to her, now be 3 feet back of your head, and she says, okay. I caught my breath slightly, and she didn't appear to be a bodybuilder that would have done it at all, and I kept wondering if she was going to make the break of my Thetan is over there or something of the sort. She didn't. She sailed right on along the line just as easy as pie. She went all the places I asked her to go to, and she gulped a couple of times theta-wise, but she kept on going, and we blew up all kinds of things and patched up all kinds of things and so forth, and I don't think the session took 45 minutes, and she walked out of there an entirely new woman. We rearranged all the anchor points and rearranged the space of the body and did all kinds of odds and ends. 45 minutes, just brrrr, see? And so one is always ready to be quite willing to be gratified by finding out that at the first moment of the session you can exteriorize somebody, or reversely, that you can banish their own universe and them from where they are sitting, you know, where they're sitting, and then have them be someplace else and then have them put their body back there. You know, that works too. You know, you just get the guy in practice at unmocking his head, and then have him in practice on unmocking all the blackness or odds and ends of energy deposits around him, and then first unmock one ear, and then the other ear, and then this ridge, and then that ridge, and have him duplicate some ridges, and then unmock them. You know, duplicate, duplicate, and unmock, duplicate, and unmock, duplicate, and unmock, duplicate, and unmock. You got his right ear gone well. He's certain of that. Now he gets his left ear gone well. He's certain of that. And then you got his nose gone, the top of his head gone. And finally, you got his head gone. Well, don't bother with the rest of the body. He's liable to bog on making something else leave. You at least got his head gone. Now you say, be over in the corner of the room. You see, you've got his head gone and all the ridges gone. Remember, it takes both. And you tell him, be over in the corner of the room. Okay, but I'll put your head back on the body. So he does. He's out. Now, there's various variations like that. I expect an auditor to be kind of bright about this sort of thing. There's this case. This case, you say, be 3 feet back of your head, and Kay says, mm-hmm. And you go right ahead with your drills, and you just go right on and do everything you're supposed to do and so forth. And then you say, this is the end of the session, half an hour, 45 minutes, or an hour later. And if you were insensitive, you didn't recognize there was something a little bit wrong. There's just a feeling about the case that this was kind of haywire somehow. Why, if you didn't, if you were kind of insensitive about all that, why, you didn't see that. And an hour later, why, the person says, you know, well, I still don't see quite what you're doing. Everybody can do that. Well, you can launch into a large explanation if you want to about Scientology and so on. That is not what is required at that moment. This case doesn't know anything more for having been worked this length of time. Believe me, there's something wrong. What's the remedy? You just go through orienting straight wire, step one. Because this case has worked all the processes you gave it with viewpoints. You get it? They didn't go to the moon. They sent a viewpoint to the moon. This case is just a little bit scared of looking. See, that's the only wrong one. And so they use viewpoints. Now, if you waste viewpoints and have them make and unmake and waste and throw away and create and destroy and duplicate viewpoints all over the place, just tell them next time, now you be 3 feet back of your head. Okay, now you're in your feet? They say no. Now your knees? No. Your hips? No. Shoulders? No. Hands? No. Head? No. Okay, now you sure you're not in your head? Yeah, I'm sure. All right. Now let's mark up a whole block of viewpoints and throw them away. Let's mark up a lot more viewpoints and throw them away. Let's mark up a lot more viewpoints and throw them away. All right, let's put a viewpoint down in front of the Walt Whitman Hotel. Take a look at the Walt Whitman Hotel with that viewpoint. They say, uh-huh. Now blow it up and be in front of the Walt Whitman Hotel and take a look. Okay. And back they come. You say, all right, now be back to your body again. Now, what's the difference between being in front of the Walt Whitman Hotel and having a viewpoint? Well, you can't see as well with a viewpoint that day. But you needn't be excited about any of this because they're not excited. What they did, they did all their drills and exercises by using and throwing around viewpoints. And they did it quite well. But their using a viewpoint does not give one the reality of being there, for the excellent reason is he's not there. And so he has a foggy notion. He is, quote, uncertainly exteriorized. There's no two ways about it. If the guy's out, he's out. If he's in, he's in. If he's out and thinks he's still in, or if he's in and still thinks he's out, or is uncertain about either state, he's doing what lookingness he has and what reachingness he has. He's doing that with auxiliary viewpoints. They're little things that look like 4-bit pieces, little gold viewpoints. They're what people wear over their eyes, like monocles. And what people try to buy down at the dime store and call glasses. Only you can't buy a viewpoint, you can only make them. Now there's the uncertain case. Now, I don't care whether that case is occluded or precluded. Yeah, it just doesn't matter. That case is using viewpoints. Now once in a while somebody will say to you, and boy, if you don't sharpen up your ears and fan for this one, you just ought to go dump yourself for a good bath in the Delaware River or something and refresh yourself to wake up. I can't think of any nastier place to swim. Anyway, because this one, if it ever passes you by, you ought to be shot. Just that. Because sometimes it's the only real clue you'll get as to a case. You just wonder, what the hell is wrong with this case? I seem to be able to process this case like mad, and nothing seems to happen. Case never has anything happen. What am I going to do about this case? Instead of blowing your brains out, why didn't you discard them as useless and just know where you are? You just didn't listen to this case, or you didn't look. Of course, if you're real sharp and real hot and well cleared, you just look and you know what the case is doing, because you can see it. But if you're just auditing blind, so to speak, tin cupping around, the only clue you'll get to this case is location reference to. You say, all right, now you back your body. Yes, yes. And so on, and you go on and on. And then the case will refer to there. You see, and they will say, I'm over there. Mm-hmm. Now you got it. Now you got it. This case is exteriorizing some sort of an astral body. It's exteriorizing a mock-up. And is quite normally doing it automatically. And such people will often go into wild arguments with you as an auditor of mysticism versus Scientology or something. There isn't any mysticism versus Scientology. Mysticism was a lot of information the boys were collecting and using that was definitely on the route to discovering Scientology. But believe me, it was on the route. Scientology didn't go back there. If we were using mysticism today, you'd be a bunch of sick, dazed cookies. I mean it. I'm probably one of the best mystics in the United States. And I know what I'm talking about. Take it from the horse's mouth. Nay, nay. But remember this, that the person has an automatic piece of machinery which exteriorizes and handles for him what he has been calling and what he would call and what is proper parlance for an astral body. They do astral walking with these things. And every once in a while, somebody's going to come along and say, exteriorization, we've been doing it for years. See? You're going to try to explain to this person, no, that isn't what I mean quite. Yes, I mean being away from your body. And they say, well, that's right, being away from your body. You're evidently in perfect agreement and completely confused. They have, by hypnotism and by self-direction, and other means, a set-up machine, a mechanism, which dispatches something of them, complete with viewpoints, to a remote situation. Well, now, if you know you're here in this room, you have the same level of certainty when you're even vaguely certain on being exteriorized. See? I mean, if you're in Grand Central Station, you're in Grand Central Station. You didn't send your hat to Grand Central Station. You get the difference here. And this person is going to give you a bad time as a preclear. Going to give you a bad time. Because every once in a while, they'll slip. Even when they're being tremendously cooperative, see, they'll skid. Because every time you audit them, you set this machinery into operation. You say, be back of your body, and they very comfortably are back of their body. On what drill? See? On a mystic drill. Astral walking, seeing at a distance, talking at a distance. These practices have never amounted to very much in the Western world. They've never really gotten savage about this. But these people are real good at this. Other planets and in the East, they're real good at this. They can talk at a very remote spot. And this is what you get today, where the lop-eared comic sits up there with a dummy on his lap doing, quote, ventriloquism, unquote. See, I mean, that's not ventriloquism. Ventriloquism's talking someplace else. That's real ventriloquism. That's the mockery end of the tone scale. They got it down close to Mest, and they have a dummy. He wouldn't have had a dummy. He would have sent a mock-up dummy someplace that would be talking. That would be ventriloquism. But not raising those powers, but being that able to do this has long since ceased to exist, actually, on this planet, except in some very remote spots where they're not even vaguely interested in demonstrating anything to anybody. You can do this. I was showed somebody how to do this one time when he was himself by that time well exteriorized and so forth, and we'd had a lot of arguments about astral walking and so forth during sessions, not because I wanted to argue with him about astral walking. We'd had difficulty with this early in the processing, you see. He'd say, yes, I'm back there. You'd say, no. You didn't say that, you see. You didn't growl. You said, no, very carefully. You said, all right, now, you see where you are back there. You got that? Now be in that spot. eventually, by just exteriorization, just standard techniques, he would be well exteriorized. But this was standing in the road because it was a trained pattern. You know, sometimes a guy will hypnotize himself and send himself at some vast distance away and come back with this vast piece of information. It's just putting remote viewpoints, remote hearing points, and remote talking points was the way it used to be very early on the track, and a lot of people still got these machines hanging around. It developed to an automaticity. When he said boo, he was then in the general's headquarters. You see, when he said boo, he could then put these things at general's headquarters. Of course, a fellow who was doing that actually had lost his nerve slightly. Because why didn't he go there? See, it's just as easy for him to be there. Well, he'd lost his nerve to the extent that he thought he had to safeguard the body which he was near. So he was already sold on this body he was near. He was doing this trick. But actually, it's very early on the track, you'll find Thetans doing this uniformly and just fooling the devil out of each other, which makes life as a Thetan kind of interesting. A little bit too much randomity. All of a sudden, this horrible face appears before you and says, boo, and you blast it. And the author of that face, of course, was mocking it up from half a light year away. You didn't blast him. It's very random. And this machinery, where this has happened to somebody and so on, is sometimes quite thoroughly installed. But this is the one that you won't have any trouble with this case. If a person can make his body astral walk, you can certainly tell him to be there too. And sometimes such a case, however, has been used himself, sent from one place to another early on the track. You know, somebody grabbed him as a body and then made him go someplace else and held his body in pawn, and he's just been shifted around from one corner to the other of the universe. So you say to him all of a sudden, be 3 feet back of your head, you're just the goon squad on planet X. You're just the boys from Mars as far as he's concerned. He isn't going to go a foot. The hell with you. It's happened to him too often. You'd have to slug him to make him go. He volunteered the 195th thousandth time, and that was the last one. He doesn't volunteer anymore. That's sometimes his trouble. His trouble is a small lack of confidence. However, you show him that you're working all right, you don't mean to gobble him up, he'll get out of his body cautiously and then wait for you to grab it, you see, or wait for you to suddenly zap him and send him off to some other mission or someplace, and he'll gradually relax. You'll note this case. It's this case that exteriorizes very tensely and rather watchfully where you're concerned. Watches his auditor very closely. Well, he's just afraid you're going to send him off someplace or grab his body. And then that just is remedied by continuing good conduct on your part. You don't do him in or change his mind or give him impossible things to do. He's all right. He's happy about it. And he finally develops enough potential so he isn't worried about such a thing anymore. All right. This person who is over there is actually a relatively easy case. If you've got anything like ears or vision, they'll say this in many ways. They'll say, do you want me to look at the lamp up here now? They'll gesture toward themselves. You just catch that clue. It may be the only clue you've got. The other one, of course, is the person is not getting certain and not getting better fast. Now, actually, theoretically, you could just keep astral walking them, you might say, and they will eventually exteriorize if you just kept drilling them. Theoretically. But I'd give it a 50 hours or something. Because you might just start running on the machine, you see, and just work more and more with the machine. Now, another thing is you occasionally run into putting emotion into walls and putting light into things and so forth. Also, is automatic machinery, which you as an auditor just start handling. The priest isn't doing it. He's having a rough time. He knows he's doing it, but he's not doing it. The way to remedy that is to have him put something into something that he's absolutely certain that he himself put there, and then have him put something else into something. And if you still run into trouble, put him on that old E-meter and just run the gamut of emotions. Just call him off one right after the other, and you'll find one that he doesn't care for. And you have him put that in things. And he'll know he'll have to do that. But he could put the routine emotions in machine fashion, but that one that's tough, you wouldn't possibly realize that he wasn't doing that easily until it was almost too late. Well, now, the methods of exteriorization must, whatever they are, remedy a preclear's entrapment in his own energy. deposits. That must remedy that. So if you validate his own barriers, his own energy as barriers, you just make it harder and harder for him to exteriorize, unless you're putting those barriers far enough away from him so that they constitute his making anchor points, as in self-analysis. See, you're putting him out there and putting him around in various places. So if you validate his own ridges and barriers too much, too often, he's liable to get bogged in them. He conceives what he has put up as indestructible. And when you ask him to feel of his body, he doesn't feel messed flesh. He merely feels his own equivalent of it. Now, that's unmistakable, by the way. A man knows whether he's handling a nose or a ridge. And he's liable to tell you he feels his nose when he feels much more strongly his own deposits of energy pouring around somewhere in his head. Well, it's not for you to go and clean up all these energy deposits in the head, because you're inside a thinking machine, and the more stuff, more energy you have him throw out, you see, the more energy you have him throw out, the more energy will cave in on him. What you do is have him use this material as a barrier, and as I showed you, using black barriers or white barriers or pink barriers or blue barriers, you have him put up barriers of his own energy in succeeding waves going out from him each time, looking through the last one to the next one. And you just finally get him to a point where he can look straight through his own energy. That's the simplest drill possible. That's his own universe, you see. And then you turn around and get him into good contact and then out of contact with messed by the other drill, which is look to the wall to the right and then the one to the left and up and down and back and so on. Just looking through succeeding walls and finding nothing and then sitting there and knowing, and then finally just finding nothing in all directions and sitting there and knowing, which is an advanced form, the same thing. And he knows he's looking at nothingness as far as messed is concerned. And then you make sure, you check him over as far as his own universe is concerned. He knows he's not running into ridges of his own universe. Where a man's own universe is actually thicker and heavier than the messed universe, he's in very heavy competition with the messed universe. And where he doesn't have any at all of his own, he doesn't feel to be in competition with it particularly. This is neither bad nor good either way. It's just a changed condition. So you have to solve those two factors. Now there's another factor that's bound to creep in, is freedom for others. And as long as he wants others not to be free, he will continue to set an example by not being free himself. And this is solved by space brackets. And as I was talking to you about a little earlier, the earlier lecture, when you've solved some of these things, when you've gotten brackets of space around him, when you've managed to clean up some anchor points, when you've gotten him to get some anchor points and made him disappear in an orderly fashion and so forth, why, you'll probably find out that there is an anchor point reason within the body itself for the mechanical inability to exteriorize. See that? There's some misarrangement of anchor points which set up consistent, continuous flow, which makes him feel that he has to hold on or hold something apart. He has a feeling something is going to go wrong in the body if he deserts it. This is the case that he can't get outside of it and control it. Not because it isn't controllable so much as the fact that it would fall in, collapse, or fly into a million pieces or go into a lot of random motion. We had a case like that the early morning. Somebody... Second, we start to put up black barriers by some random motions, threatened random motion set up, and this would have escaped you probably. We handled it as an automaticity. We handled the body going into random motion as an automaticity. We wouldn't have achieved, but it would have been the same thing if we'd said, I can control my body from outside. I can't control my body from outside. See, we'd have had the same end result. But we probably wouldn't have gotten there just with a concept. The person who can't be exteriorized doesn't exist. I'm sure of this, you see. I've exteriorized people in Spanish, French, English, American. I didn't use the language. But it was done in African 5 times. I've even exteriorized an Arab police official. Now, this is the knee plus ultra. Because they're 1'5", and they're beefy, and they look, they're just nothing but solid glass, black glass ridges. In a hot country with all her prenatals and complete restimulation, and you can slip one of these boys out of his head, you can do anything. Because it's just like asking somebody, he has to know all this is solid, you see. If he doesn't know it's solid, he isn't there. Now you ask him to make it unsolid so that he can slide out of it or something, and you've got a picnic on your hands. And yet, exteriorized him using what techniques? The ones I'm teaching you. I haven't used anything else with this type of exteriorization for a long time. Now it gets fancier. It gets fancier. It gets more codified. It's better understood what the results are. The drills necessary, the communication of it becomes better understood. But the actual operation of exteriorization is just the same operation as before. It's using the native abilities of the Thetan to have the Thetan be someplace else than amongst his body and own energy deposits, so much so that he's continually hit by flows and aberrations. You get him out away from it, clear him up, and make him strong and tough, and he can handle any reactive mind. And that's all there is to the problem. You get the body away from him, or him away from the body, and he can operate. He doesn't belong in a body because he's not very able in a body. Now, your problem as an auditor is not a foggy one. There isn't anything odd about it. It's actually, this is just this act of exteriorization I'm talking about, you understand. I'm talking about making operating Thetan. It's just this one little act. It's actually only one part of a great deal you can do. But you're starting in at the tough end and then going toward the easy end. Now, if we just had the person cleared before we stepped him out of his head, you see, it would be very easy. But that would be a reverse process, and it's not a possible process. We find him in his worst state, and we have to ask him to do the most incredible thing we will have to ask him to do, which is be away from all these ridges and universes and involvements. We can see we're just real tough. Now, quite often I look at somebody and realize that he won't exteriorize easily, and realizing this, I don't ask him. I merely run the operation that will lead immediately toward his exteriorization. I see, for instance, that his eyes and so forth demonstrate consistent, considerable flows and so on, and realize it'd be very improbable for this individual to be 3 feet back of his head. But what do you know? I've made a couple of mistakes that way. I've actually stirred a case up that I shouldn't have stirred up at all. Now, afterwards, I did it experimentally. I took a case that should have exteriorized easily and then stirred the case all up by running wasting machineries and step fours. See, a lot of stuff step four and a lot of stuff on step five. And got the case so it couldn't exteriorize. Nailed him. And then, of course, slid him out of his head by sliding the head off him. So it can be done. You can make a mistake that way. The way to err is to wait too long to ask him to get out of his head. Now, there is one that never stirs him up, and that's orienting straight wire. Where aren't you thinking? Where aren't you? Where aren't other people thinking? Where aren't they? Where aren't you? And that never stirs him up, just makes him look. And any technique which makes him look is better off. Now, I sometimes get somebody down to about a 3 or something like that. I have to ask him to put a beam out. But boy, I make sure I drill this person like mad. If I can find somebody, find the front of his forehead, and give it a push, and be outside, then I drill him like mad immediately on perception, get him up tone scale quick, because if he slides back in, he's liable to stick and require a rougher going over to exteriorize him next time, because this boy is using too much energy too often. And that's about all, actually, besides experience, that you need to know about methods of exteriorization.